for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, and as always, we're wishing you the best. And we love to hear from you. You can go to naturalnurse.com and email us anything you'd like, get in touch on Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And you can join us both online. We have many online classes. They are certified for nurses, massage therapists, nutritionists, registered dietitians, midwives, or you can join us in person. We have an upcoming Chinatown walk where we spend the day in Chinatown in New York. That's one that you join with us in person. And we visit many Chinese apothecaries as well as going underground in Chinatown. It's pretty fascinating, to an FDA herbal manufacturing facility. So we have a wonderful activity, that class. I guess that's the 30th year that we are having that class, and it's always sold out. So go to naturalnurse.com. You will see under calendar the Chinatown Herb Walk if you'd like to join us for that. We also have in June several outside events where we go outside, gather wild, edible, and medicinal plants, and make them into medicine. And you go home with your own tincture, your own salve, your own tea that you made yourself during our workshop right after gathering wild, edible, and medicinal plants in the field. And that's coming up in June. Look at naturalnurse.com calendar. We also have a local chapter of the American Herbalist Guild. And we meet once a month. That is absolutely no charge whatsoever. And it's in various areas of Long Island for the Long Island chapter. There's also a New York City chapter. And in the Long Island chapter, we do outside field work in every class if it's nice, or if it's a rainy day, then we meet in a library and have a more of a lecture kind of situation, learning about how to use wild, edible, and medicinal plants for yourself and your family. And today we are so happy to have on board as our guest, Master Herbalist Karen Rose. And Karen was trained in Eastern and Western herbal medicine. And also, she has a wonderful store and area to teach out of in Brooklyn called Sacred Vibes Healing and Sacred Vibes Apothecary. Her work began as in her native home of Guyana, where she was exposed to African, Cuban, and Latin American traditions and was influenced by plant medicine and community healing. Karen is dedicated to empowering individuals to make informed decisions, not only about their health, but their total lifestyle. And she has developed authentic and enlightening materials, as well as an extensive line of herbal products, which are available through her apothecary, as well as apprenticeship classes and mentoring programs. So thank you so much for coming on board as our guest today, Karen.
Thank you, Ellen. It's good to be here.
And you're there. I'm so happy you're there because we missed each other the other day, although we have that rescheduled.
Yes,
today
we do.
Today we are on Progressive Radio Network, which is a very wide-reaching program, and also it's always archived. So when we're done today, probably tomorrow or so, I will send you a link so that this show will be also on your website and available anytime for anyone to listen into. So thank you so much for sharing your information with us today. Now, it sounds like your learning goes back in time to your childhood. Tell us about that, when you were actually with whoever began this for you, your mom, your grandmother, your aunts, maybe your uncles. Where did the journey begin for you to become a master herbalist?
It definitely began in my childhood. My grandmother was what we would call a plant worker. She worked with plants. Today we would call her an herbalist, but in Guyana, which is in South America, we're the English-speaking British Guyana, the only English-speaking country in South America, my grandmother just had a garden and knew what all the plants were used for. And folks in the village, we lived in this really small village along the Atlantic Ocean, they would come to my grandmother for healing. So just watching my grandmother work was what really inspired me to practice this further.
But that's also something special because my first teacher was my grandmother, and she was from Greece. And she was the woman who did a lot of things, like she read tea leaves. So she was basically a psychic reader. But she also was the midwife and delivered babies at home and an herbalist who both grew all her own medicinal plants as well as knew the wild plants. But she had 35 grandchildren, right?
Wow.
And how many did your grandmother have? So what so made
my grandmother
you
only had two children.
To follow her around,
and then
absorb
from those
and learn.
Children, now she has five grandchildren.
Okay.
Yeah.
They didn't
but, you know, we're so lucky to have that knowledge to reflect on and to remember who we really inherited it from, because I find that so many people in the work have some awareness that they've learned it from someone, but they can't pinpoint who it is in their family. So we're really lucky to know that it was our grandmothers, huh?
Yeah, and it passed it down to you, and that's a very special thing, and it was only the beginning of your journey.
Yes, absolutely. You know, when we immigrated here to the United States, I was 14 going on 15 and had never even seen a doctor beyond receiving care from village elders in the village we grew up in, because there was no doctor there. We would have to fly to the city if we wanted a doctor. So everyone became, all the indigenous healers really became the people who provided medicine for the village. So as you can imagine, arriving in the United States, this was a culture shock in many ways, but one of the ways was turning yourself over to a doctor, you know, to be seen by a doctor and to receive care in that way felt very disjointed. But, you know, as I got older, I wanted to, like, reconnect to what care really meant for me, and care really meant community, like this part of being a community and receiving care within your community. But the thing was, there was no none of the plants that I had learned existing, because Guyana is on the equator, right? So the plants were different here. So I had to get to know the plants that existed here, and that's why I studied Western herbalism.
Well, when you say here, because if you were where I am at this very moment, because I live in Florida, and also in Oyster Bay. So here in Florida, there's probably a lot of plants that are the same as the ones
that
grew up.
That's what I'm so excited
about.
Even though
they may be called something different.
Yes, yes. Florida plants are always interesting.
The herbs you would find, like, in New York.
Yes, we can grow many of the tropical plants that I grew up with in Guyana, in Florida. But in Brooklyn, we don't, because it's so cold, you know, the change of the season. So in Brooklyn, we don't have that extension. And at that time, I was also living in Arizona when I studied herbalism, so definitely couldn't grow equator plants in the desert.
I didn't know about that, but I lived in Arizona also. My children were born in Bisbee, Arizona.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Some of my first herbal teachers were Michael Moore and Amy.
Yes, absolutely. At Southwest School of Botanical Medicine. I took classes there also.
Right. So we've walked many, many sisterly paths, that's for sure.
Yes, we have.
And that's another whole realm of plants, that Southwest.
I am so excited to fall in love. You know, I'm going to visit Arizona later this year, and I'm excited because my first introduction into Western plants was, you know, all the desert cacti and prickly pear and chaparral and damiana, all the things that grow out there, you know. So it's really beautiful to, like, embrace that again when I go visit.
Let's talk a little about chaparral, because I think that is one of the strongest medicines against tumors and cancers, and yet it's somewhat outlawed in Western herbology right now.
Well, I think the strength of it scares folks, and I think also it's the education behind the usage, because the way I learned chaparral was like 21 days and that's it, but in very small amounts, you know, and I think... Yeah, I think the not having the right understanding really is the problem that prevents the access to use. I find that the people who are aware of it here in New York, they're always seeking it out, especially for cancer. And they will come into the apothecary and ask us if we have it. But I think not as many herbalists that are coming now that haven't worked with desert plants embrace chaparral at all.
Well, that's true. But the thing is, just what you said, it's not the first plant to jump on board with if you want to become an herbalist. It is poisonous, as are all true, you know, medical chemotherapy agents. So it is to be used wisely. But it's such a powerful spirit plant, because when it rains, I'm just having a vision now of my little boy, who's now 43. But at the time, he would be sitting on my hip, and when it rained, he wanted to go outside because the whole air became filled with that creosote smell of chaparral. It's so special.
I remember the smell. I compared it to burning tires. It smelled like... It smelled almost like rubbery, you know, in the air.
Yeah, that's true, because it's the creosote. So that's so wonderful to be able to share that that little experience with you, Karen Rose. And I want to tell people, we are speaking to master herbalist Karen Rose, and the best place to find her is sacredvibeshealing.com. That's sacredvibeshealing.com. And those of you who are our listeners in the New York area, her shop is in Brooklyn. And it's an actual facility that people can come into. Is that correct, Karen?
Yes, we have an apothecary that's open 6 days a week here in Ditmas Park, Brooklyn. And so we're open from Tuesdays to Sundays from noon till 6.
That's such a wonderful thing to have available to your community. Now, you call yourself a spiritual herbalist. What does that mean for you?
For me, that means I practice the way in which my grandmother practiced. My grandfather on my father's side was what we would call a root worker, which meant that he worked with different plants for different spiritual needs in his community. And so I inherited some of his gifts with working with plants to talk to spirit, understanding spiritual things that are happening. And so the way in which I practice does not abandon what I know to be true, which is that plants are energies and they move between these dimensions, you know, the dimension we live in and within the spirit dimension, and they help us to understand ourselves better and to learn how to communicate with our more intuitive sides. And the way in which I practice herbal medicine is to help folks remember that, yes, you're taking a plant for something that's going on in your body, but to also be looking for, like, what's happening within your spirit and within your emotion, and get to know that and allow the plant to show you that it can make that connection there likewise. So for me, the idea of practicing spiritual herbalism is really looking at a plant beyond it being just the remedy for a physical ailment.
Right. There's so much. Well, you know, we call that body, mind, and spirit medicine, and it's really recognized in all what I would say traditional healing, which is something like traditional Chinese medicine, traditional Tibetan medicine, and what you're talking about, like a traditional island indigenous medicine, and of course our own Native American culture. They always recognize the spirit and the whole person, not just looking at the hurt arm.
Yes, absolutely. Or even not just looking at the plant like, oh, you're the plant that's going to fix the hurt arm, because that plant fixed the hurt arm plus adjusts other things in a spiritual way. So, you know.
So how would that work for you? If someone comes in to see you, now different people come to your store, Sacred Vibes Healing, in various ways. Like they may just come in to purchase something because they know they think they want it, or might they come in with questions about what they might use to help themselves stay in balance?
Absolutely. I think it's interesting how people find themselves to the apothecary. You know, I'm here. I work like two of those days. I staff the apothecary, and people will just walk by it and they say, I don't know what this is, but I just couldn't, you know, I was called in. And so those folks just wander until they, like, something hits them that they want to leave with, or they want to ask a question around. Other people do a lot of research. As we know, there's so much research available on the web now that many people just do their research on the web and choose a plant that they want to work with for a while, and we service that. Other people come in with a concern and say, like, whether it's sleep or digestion, they come in with a concern and say, here are the things that have been bothering me, and then we make recommendations based on that. But at the same time, we're making physical, you know, recommendations to address the symptoms. We're also talking about where the problem could be coming from. So even on the apothecary floor, we've been able to, like, have conversations around spirit and what does it mean to, like, take care of your emotional self, and how to release anger, how to be able to forgive. Those conversations also naturally happen when someone starts to talk a bit more about their life.
So in terms of remedies, I think essence remedies and things called Bach flower remedies and Bach flower remedies, depending on how we say it, and essence remedies can be so balancing in addition to herbs. So do you offer any of those as well, or would you move more towards, let's say, an herb tea?
Oh, we offer flower essences. We have a flower essence practitioner who works with us, who blends her own blends for custom blends for our customers. So we believe that flower essences are deeply powerful in initiating some healing that we don't even know we have to access. And then we also blend teas, custom blend teas based on people's needs. But we have our own formulary. We have about 56 different teas that are part of our formulary and tincture. And different tinctures and syrups and tonics. We're a full-service herbal apothecary, which everything we sell, we make. So we don't carry anyone else's brands. We basically sell our brands in our apothecary, and we make them every day to support the need of our community.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you're getting things, if you were to visit Sacred Vibes Healing, then you're not going to just find in the health food store.
Correct. These are specifically our brands. So, like, our cough syrup is our own. Our multivitamin is our own. We've invested our time in really creating creating formulas that we believe are, like, strong and work well. And so, and are nutritive for the body. And our customers really love that because they're able to, like, talk in depth to us about it.
Well, let's walk through that. Just as a heads up, in about 10 minutes, we'll take a little break. So we, you know, and then we'll come back. But we do have time. I want our listeners to know you are listening to Karen Rose, and she is right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And best place to find her is sacredvibeshealing.com. Let's walk through someone coming in. It could be, you know, someone you're thinking of or just a representative kind of individual. And what would go on if they came in, let's say, and said, you know, I'm on lots of drugs already, but I still have digestive difficulties or any kind of situation like that?
Well, since we're an apothecary, right, we have to ask what those drugs are that they're on, because we don't want to give them, we know this is plant medicine and plants are strong, so we don't want to give them anything that's contraindicatory with what they're already taking. So then we ask them what medicines they're on, and based on what medicines they're on, we're trained herbalists enough to be able to say, you know, this herb will work well for that concern. I also think, like, identifying what the digestive issue is, because many people just say, I have digestive issues. And then we need to start to talk about, well, what does that feel like in your body? Because now we have to narrow down. If that person doesn't already have a diagnosis, we have to figure out what it really could be. Is it an ulcer? Is it gas? Is it acid reflux? Is it Crohn's? Is it IBS? These are all digestive issues, but we would need to ask more questions to figure out what's really going on with that individual. And based on what's going on with that individual and the medicines that they may already be taking, we find something that's complementary to what they're already taking, whether that is something as simple as lemon balm or chamomile or ginger. You know, we try to work with what that person is already doing in their life to help balance their health.
I'm so happy that you brought that up, because when I became an herbalist, which was in 1964, we were not too worried about herb-drug interactions for several reasons. First of all, it was a big, strong break between those two communities. There were those people who would use herbs, like myself, and then there were people who would use pharmaceuticals, but very rarely was there a crossover between those two different communities. In addition, it wasn't like every single person 50 years old is on five pharmaceuticals. like mm-hmm. things have evolved mm-hmm. right now.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And those pharmaceuticals sometimes themselves contraindicate each other. So that's a whole other thing that we have to be looking at. But as an herbalist, you know, we have most people are using supplements of some sort right alongside their pharmaceuticals. So I'm also asking questions about what other supplements people are doing, not taking, not only the pharmaceuticals, but like, are you already taking a supplement such as turmeric? Are you already taking other supplements that are out there on the market, and these have to be taken into account also before we give herbs out.
That is so brilliant and so responsible and so correct, because some people don't do that, and you can get in trouble because, like you said, I love what you just said, Karen, because doctors are very quick to say, well, don't use anything natural because it might interact with your drugs. And meanwhile, they themselves are prescribing a plethora of pharmaceuticals which have been well documented that should not be taken together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what we find most often is when I ask people for a list of their pharmaceuticals. I'm like, why are you taking this with this? You know, that's what we find as herbalists, because we take the time to say we look at the body as a whole versus looking at the body as, you know, within the lens of medicine, the body is so broken down into many different systems. So let's say, for example, your endocrinologist may not be speaking to your, your neurologist. And those things are very different, you know. And so when you're an herbalist, we're looking at the body as a function of the whole. So we want to be looking at, like, all of the parts, all of the moving parts. And sometimes having a lens of just what does a whole being look like really changes the game.
It's true. Now, have you found that people hide the fact that they're seeing you and using herbs, or are there physicians who you know of, even in your community, where people can visit them and basically be supported by both? Like perhaps the doctor could do blood work to see how the herbs are working, or in some other way work in tandem, like a team, the way it should be done.
Absolutely, right? So that's such a key part of this. And I find that two things that I find happening. I have more and more medical professionals that are training in my apprenticeship program to be herbalists, right? Because they want to understand the herbs that their clients are coming in and taking. And the other part of that that's happening is that stigma or that dismissal that we sometimes receive from doctors when we mention a plant is becoming less and less, because in this community, at least, that I'm seeing, because doctors are realizing that whether or not their clients are telling them, that they're absolutely using other supplements outside, you know, of so I find that my physician, for example, I'm able to say, oh, no, I'll take care of that. I know how to handle that with herbal medicine, you know, and is able to, like, give me some space with that. But people are still afraid for, there's a stigma associated with, like, oh, no, you just don't understand how that works. You don't understand what that does in the body. And no one really wants to be in a confrontational relationship with their medical provider. So instead, they just, like, don't bring that information up. And on the other hand, what I find when someone comes into an herbalist, they're more than happy to talk about the medication they receive, which alone talks about the culture then. There's a difference in culture, right? There's an openness here where there's not so much of an openness necessarily within the medical culture.
Well, that's a very good way to put it. So what we'll do is we will take a little break right here, Karen, and hear about a natural medicine chest, or about an herb again, because that's our topic for today. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion. And we are talking here with Karen Rose, who's a master herbalist from Sacred Vibe Healings. Okay, we'll be right back with more.
On this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the folklore, history, chemistry, and medicinal applications of the common kitchen herb, thyme.
The common culinary spice known botanically as Thymus vulgaris is only one member of a large genera which includes over 400 species and even more varieties. The Thymus genera is originally native to the Mediterranean region and is a perennial plant which grows wild in usually dry, sandy soil, green heaths, and grasslands. Thyme is a prolific, fragrant, creeping ground cover and often displays an attractive spray of flowering branchlets spanning the spectrum from white to violet.
There is considerable debate amongst historians as to the origin of the name thyme. Some believe it to be from the Greek thymen, meaning to fumigate or to burn a sacrifice, because it was used as a sweet-smelling incense and also to keep pests and venomous creatures away from the Greek home. Others believe it came from the Greek thumos, meaning courage or energy, perhaps because it has a reputation of being used by Greek warriors for courage and was bathed in and used as a beverage for invigoration. The Egyptians used an herb called tham, which we believe is Thymus vulgaris, to mummify their dead. The principal chemical constituents of thyme are the volatile oils consisting of phenol, thymol, and carvacrol. A 1977 article in the scientific journal Chemical Abstracts revealed that thymol's antimicrobial activity is 18 times more powerful than phenol. Phenol is a major antiseptic used in commercial germicidal cleaners like Lysol. Thymol is one of the most potent antimicrobial substances known and far surpasses even the strongest antibiotics. It has been illustrated in the Journal of Chemistry and in the Merck Index of Drugs and Chemicals to destroy parasites, worms, fungi, bacteria, mosquito larvae, and many viruses.
The pharmaceutical and cosmetic industry is privy to the important medicinal effects of oil of Thymus vulgaris. It is ubiquitously found in gargles, cough drops, vapor rubs, and many mouthwashes. Oil of thyme is to be used, albeit very sparingly because of its potency, as a gargle or mouthwash for sore throats and inflamed gums. Because the volatile oil is expelled via the lungs and kidneys, naturopathic physicians use it for upper respiratory infections and urinary tract infections. If you're in the midst of a cold and are lying in bed with too much thyme on your hands, try making a thyme tea made with just a few teaspoons of thyme to a cup of boiling water. It's an excellent diaphoretic because it causes the body to perspire profusely. Thyme also possesses an excellent carminative and antispasmodic effect, helping in poor digestion, flatulence, and intestinal gripe.
So, listeners, if you're feeling ill, thyme heals all wounds. Remember to reach for that thyme in a bottle the next time you open up the Natural Medicine Chest.
Welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We love to hear from you, so visit us at naturalnurse.com. You can look at calendar to see the many classes and workshops that we have coming up. And you can also email us or join the newsletter. To join the newsletter, you just type in only your email in the left-hand corner of the front page of the website. You can also listen to our radio shows, many thousands of them, including today's show with our wonderful guest, Karen Rose, by going to naturalnurse.com, media, radio shows. And Karen is trained in many phases of herbal medicine. She is obviously a wise woman, and we're very fortunate to have her as part of the herbal community and the Brooklyn herbal community. And what is the best way for people to find you, Karen?
It would definitely be through my website, sacredvibeshealing.com. And there you can find offerings that connect you to all of what we do here.
Now, you have a pretty broad background in different herbal cultures. But how about, you know, Brooklyn has so many medicinal plants growing there. People don't realize that. You don't have to go to Guyana. You can find them in Brooklyn.
Yes, it's true. I think, you know, when I first started practicing as an herbalist here in Brooklyn about 12 years ago, because I was in Arizona practicing before then, but when I arrived back in Brooklyn, I was shocked that there wasn't more happening in the herbalist community here. In New York City, as you know, we had Aphrodisia and Angelica and, you know, some of the herbal stores that were existing since the 60s. But when I came, it was an interesting time when I arrived back in Brooklyn in the early 2000s, and a lot of these herb shops were now closing and going out of business. And I thought to myself, like, we need herbs in Brooklyn. There's nothing accessible in Brooklyn for people who are interested in using alternative methods of medicine without going into the city. And as you know, the parks are full of, like, wild medicinal plants. And so I started to walk the park and teach people about what was growing there, and having people embrace the local plants that exist around them instead of always thinking about the plant that they can import from somewhere that's this, you know, that's this plant that that everyone is talking about, the latest rave plant, and started to say, you know, no, we kind of have burdock here, a lot of burdock that works well, too. We have yellow dock that works well. We have plantain. We're lucky enough to have, like, a colder season. We have lots of pine, white willow, birch trees. It's just so amazing, the amount of medicine we have in our park.
Are you familiar with my good friend, Wild Man Steve Brill?
Yes, and his walk was one of the ones that was the only thing that's going. And so he still gives walks. When I arrived back, I went on one of his walks. And up to this day, he still gives walks in Prospect Park, explaining the plants that grow there.
He's a wonderful herbalist. He really brings humor. And his focus, which has always been his focus, is more about the edible essence,
yes,
than the medicinal, yes, side. So it works right along with what you're teaching. And it's just a lot of fun, a lot of fun. He brings humor. He does children's workshops. Do you find that people come in looking for herbs for children?
Yes, they do. So we're a community apothecary. And what that means is that our line ranges from the entire family. So we look at, like, what mom needs. We look at what dad needs. But we also look at what children needs. I have three children. So a lot of my herbal practice stemmed from being a mom and using plant medicine. All of my children, the only medicine that they've ever used is plant medicine. So much of my practice has been like, okay, this is happening with with my children. How do I create something to help benefit them? And now those medicines are part of the lines that I sell here. So these are medicines I know very well because my children are now 20 and 18, you know, and my youngest one, he's 10. But they're grown up using this medicine. So we concentrate very heavily on children medicine here at the apothecary.
That's a wonderful thing. And I'll tell you, my children never had an antibiotic or any kind of Western medicine, and they're 43 and 39.
Oh, so, wow. That is what I would love to see in my children. My daughter, Lauren, she's pre-med, and she wants to go on to be a doctor. And it's very interesting to have someone who grew up on herbal medicine now embrace what it means to practice, you know, in the traditional medical model. I'm very excited to see what kind of physician she can be.
It's actually excellent. And just so she knows ahead of time, perhaps you do know, that if she completes any conventional medical program, such as either MD or DO, when she's done with that, she can add in a naturopathic degree with only one more year of study through any of the licensed naturopathic colleges.
I will recommend that
MD,
to her.
MD, because you don't
she
have
does
to do
know
the
that.
Basic
so I will definitely recommend that to her.
Yeah, if she's so inclined. She may also, who knows, you know, sometimes our kids, regardless of who we are as parents, and I'm sure all parents can relate, want to go in the other direction, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. But it's so great to have these conversations with her when she calls me and she's like, Mom, I can't believe it. When she's learning about the body and then she has the plant knowledge, she's able to say, Mom, I can't believe it. That is why this works so well in the immune system, because as you said before, and she combines that knowledge with what she's learning, it's really exciting to have those conversations.
Oh, it is great, and we'll be so lucky to embrace her into the healing family, because that is the perfect combination. So I'm hoping more and more young people go there, because then they're in a position of power to create change within conventional medicine.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm excited myself.
And that's wonderful that your daughter is taking that on as her, you know, unique and very spiritual path. So I'm sure she'll do excellently well.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing I find, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, parents will come in, and while they're using like a commercial product, not that we're putting it down, but let's say, you know, like children's Tylenol or something, which if you read the ingredients on it, it has red dye, chemicals, all kinds of stuff in it, and yet it's put on the market for children, but they'll question the safety of something natural, like fennel tea for gas.
Correct. Correct. And, you know, we have fennel in our homes, right? Fennel, many people use it as spices. So for me, the approach also to herbal medicine is saying to folks, like, you have these things in your home. Let's start there. You know, let's start what you already use, and let's move it beyond a kitchen spice, and how do you use it for your health? And within the West Indian culture, that is big, because West Indians cook with so much medicine, too. And so from my Caribbean culture here in Brooklyn, I'm always like, well, here are the benefits you get from curry. You know, I educate them on that. I start to talk about allspice or pimento berries and how beneficial that is for their bodies
about if somebody does have some of the spices you talked about. First of all, I do suggest they get them organic, because if there is spice that's, you know, commercial brand of spice, sometimes it's been irradiated and then it won't be so medicinally active.
Right. Yes, so oftentimes what I find is folks will, you know, harvest them from Jamaica themselves, from their land, and bring them back here. And so just educating them about, like, oh, yeah, that's great in your food, that's great in your rice, but this is also really great as medicine in these ways.
That's such great information to share with people. And like you said, a lot of the more ethnically focused food, such as Indian food and Asian food, already includes in the regular traditional cooking many of these spices. And now we're beginning to understand through chemical analysis how truly healing they are.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think that the grandmothers within those cultures knew, but as usual, you know, as each generation comes along, the focus becomes different, right? And so it's a reminding almost, because I meet so many people that are from India that said, you know, my grandmother used turmeric in this way. My grandmother used these medicines, neem, in this way. And it's to say, yeah, well, these medicines are still available, and you can use them in these ways too, you know?
So those are two good ones. Why don't we talk about that? Neem is an incredible healer that I have seen just do wonders, especially for skin conditions. So why don't you tell us about neem?
Mm-hmm. Growing up in Guyana, because in the village where I grew up, indentured servants from India came, and indentured servants from China came. So my grandparents are Chinese, and my mom's side, they're Chinese and African. And so with the influx of culture, you also brought the influx of medicine. So along the coast where I grew up in Guyana, there were neem trees everywhere. And so neem was used from brushing the teeth. Neem was used as an oil to, like, warm the body. It was used for parasites. It was used for all kinds of skin conditions. It was used as what they would call in the Caribbean a clean out, as a purging or an evacuant, so to make sure that there are no parasitic worms in the body. So the ranges of neem were wide, but neem was also revered spiritually within the culture and used as offerings in different ceremonial practices. So I think that these plants became almost they were so embedded into what the culture itself was, not only for healing, but also spiritual work.
Now, that's really interesting, because you, in our beginning of our conversation, discussed that you honor herbs both in a medicinal sense and also with an emotional and spiritual focus, which really was recognized throughout traditional cultures.
Yes, absolutely. I think that that's important to do, to hold on to those cultures. What I, you know, so for example, I immigrated here when I was 15, and then I had my children, and I would be so disappointed if my children didn't understand what their great-grandmother's traditions were. So I think that it's, you know, it's a huge part of me raising my children and rearing them to continue to talk about, like, what were the healing traditions that were found in my family. So, you know, I tell my children all the time about how my grandmother would prepare this syrup of sour cherries for us on her stove. And that syrup of sour cherries was like rose, the consistency of what we have now is rosehip syrup. Number one, it was high in pectin, so it regulated your digestion really well. Number two, it was so high in vitamin C that it really kept us well. It was high in calcium that it helped to build our bones. But my grandmother did it in such a way that it was like, it was food as medicine almost. She knew to serve us Cerasi tea at night before our dinner. She knew to serve us syrup throughout the day because she knew Cerasi was a bitter and that it would help us digest our food. So I talk to my children all the time about like the traditions that were a part of the family and not so much like, oh, when we got sick, this is what grandma did, but this is what grandma did on an everyday basis for us to keep us well.
And that's so important. And, of course, hopefully, now, do you have any books available, Karen? Because you need to write down all of those things so that you don't become the last holder of that knowledge as your elders pass on.
Yes, it's very true. I've been documenting more and is currently working on a book, two different books for documenting that material for Guyana and the herbs we use and the family traditions within those herbs that influence my practice now.
Right. It's so important because of that, because you have chosen, or perhaps you were chosen, to carry that knowledge into the future. And as traditional healers in indigenous areas of the world, and I've spent most of my life visiting them and documenting what they tell me, what they share with me, because I feel when they pass on, like my wonderful teacher, Jamba of the Maroons, and he was from the Maroon culture on the north coast of Jamaica. And he has since passed away. And I'm so happy that he spent years sharing his information with me. And he told me, please tell the world. He did not say, hide this and only share it with my bloodline, which is an interesting concept right now in terms of, you know, who gets to share this knowledge.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the concept, the interesting concept really is, you know, you've also spent time directly with Jamba. You've also spent time in Jamaica learning and working with people there. And I think that sharing the knowledge is very natural. But what we find is that people don't invest that time into communities and just share the knowledge. And I think that's what we're running into when we talk about, like, people sharing knowledge that's not their own or sharing knowledge that's that capitalizes on knowledge. I think that if you have a genuine interest for the community, and if you are working one-on-one with your teacher, and you continue to visit and invest in that land, it is very different to be able to share that knowledge versus just acquiring the knowledge and then sharing it in that way.
Right, and we also set up programs where if any of those plants that he shared with myself and my group wound up becoming commercially viable, that actually they have an intellectual property rights agreement ahead of time so that money goes back into their community.
It has to be done that way. It has to be done that way. You know, one of the big parts of what we talk about in our herbalism program is practicing herbalism with equity when we're naming. And you're also continuing to name your teacher every time you speak. You're naming him and you're naming his legacy. And that is so enriching to me. And that's moving with such a of integrity, because what happens is sometimes we forget to name our teachers and we forget to name that, you know, that these plants were their traditional healing. And I think that therein lies the problem. So I think that the example that you're setting is really a beautiful one. And I think for me, every time I have an opportunity, I'm talking about my grandmother and I'm talking about the other indigenous teachers of my land that I've learned information from or other places that I've traveled.
That's so true. Well, we're up to taking one more break right now. And when we come back, I'd love to hear about your classes, your mentoring programs, and I love the name of this one, Get Off Your Knees platform. What does that mean? So you'll share that with us, Karen?
Sure, absolutely.
Karen Rose, when we come back right after hearing about the shows you can hear right here on Progressive Radio Network. We will be right back with more on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
I'm Gary Null, the founder of the Progressive Radio Network. Today we have more than 80 producers bringing forth the most progressive and most liberating information, the kind of information you do not regularly hear on any of the mainstream or alternative media. You can help us now. Up to this point, I have virtually supported the Progressive Radio Network, all of its expenses and payroll, myself. But we would like to expand our reach. We'd like to do far more. We'd like to be able to advertise on Facebook and let others know we exist. We are the number one progressive radio network in the world. In fact, we have programs that are most listened to in all of progressive radio. But we could go a lot further. Our message could reach a lot more people, especially at a time when people are desperate for honest, objective insights on the important topical issues of our day. How can you help? It's simple. Go to prn.fm, go to our main page. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a little button, Support Now. And then whatever you can contribute on a monthly basis will make a big difference. It will help get the message out. It will help inform more people, will give them more choices. This is where you'll hear Jill Stein and Ralph Nader and the independent candidates and the people looking to challenge the corruption in government and industries. But we need to get our reach out further. So please, whatever you can afford on a monthly basis, and there's some suggestions there, and it'll be automatic. All right? Thank you very much for continuing to help us help you and the rest of the world on these important issues.
Welcome back. You know, you can also download the Progressive Radio Network app to stay on board with all the shows. There's also a listener call-in line, one of the top phone radio shows where you can just phone in and listen to this show or Gary Null's show or any of the other wonderful shows on Progressive Radio Network. So we want to continue our discussion with Karen Rose. Karen Rose is a master herbalist and very knowledgeable, as you can see if you've been listening. And Karen, let's talk about some of your community programs. And I'm curious about what you mean by Get Off Your Knees platform.
That's a mentorship program that I've been doing with women. a private mentorship program that I've been doing with women one-on-one. And, you know, I think the concept came from how we, you know, feel like we're not worthy to receive what's the best in our lives, and consistently pleading to get things in our life instead of claiming those things in our life as our own, to start from a place of power and say, you know, these things we've been naturally, we have a very beneficial a universe that wants to provide us with the things that we want. Like, why don't we come to our health and our healing and our lives from that standpoint, claiming the things? And so, how do we use our energy and our and what we do each day to manifest the life we want instead of coming at it from a place of life manifest for us?
So what you're saying is, if you're not completely satisfied with your experience, step up and change it.
Absolutely, because we have that power. We have that power. That's a God-given power to step up and change the things in our life that we would rather see going in a different way, and to create affirmations for ourselves to help us manifest the life we want. And I found this so important when it came to dealing with folks who were not feeling well or are not healthy and were diseased and were coming into the apothecary, because so many times even our wellness we have to claim for ourselves. We can't leave that in the hands of the physicians to tell us, like, how will our treatments work. We really have to start claiming that we are well. That needs to be a part of our language, you know, instead of the I am sick language. And I think that mentorship program is more about, like, claiming the things we want instead of focusing on so much on the things that we don't.
Yeah, that's wonderful information. And we do find that people, you know, it's not that it's easy. No one's saying it's easy. It's about owning up to where your choices are creating your reality, and without really taking on blame about it either.
Absolutely. It's very true. Just looking at it, having giving it space and being able to really look at our lives and seeing the places in it that we can change, be stronger, and then having a deep sense of compassion for ourselves, right, while we're moving through the change. Because as you said, the change doesn't happen overnight, and we can't get mad at ourselves. We have to, like, allow the time, give ourselves the time. That impatience with self is also the impatience that we have with other people. So we have to, like, give ourselves the time to really create change. And this is one of the big lessons, too, around health, right? Because we have people who've been suffering with chronic things for years, and then they come into the apothecary and they say, when can this be healed? And you're like, well, it's kind of up to you also when this can be healed. It won't be healed in 2 weeks, that's for sure. You have to, like, work with it. And what does that look like?
Yes, they might come into Sacred Vibes Apothecary and want you to give them this one quick pill that's just going to take care of everything.
Yes.
And that would be nice if it existed. It doesn't exist in conventional medicine, and it doesn't exist in natural medicine either. Yet, the ways of natural medicine, I am truly committed to, and people like your daughter hopefully will bring forth. Really, it should be, natural medicine should be the primary and first intervention, because when we look at the outcome versus the adverse effect profile, it's a much better treatment modality, especially for initial intervention.
Mm-hmm. I agree, because it works with the body and not to stimulate any artificial responses, but work with the body to bring certain systems into balance, as we know.
Right. That's excellent. So what is an herb that you would say, rather than, let's say, a treatment herb, something that you would consider a tonic that most people can safely try?
Yeah, I think there's many, but since I live in New York, I'm going to bring up, you know, burdock, that we have right here, you know. I think that burdock is accessible. It's great at this time of the year for spring cleansing the body. It's a liver herb. It's a colon herb. It improves the health of the liver and the colon. It balances the pancreas. There's so much to say about burdock, but I like to encourage people to use the herbs that exist around them. So whether you're on the West Coast or you're on the East Coast, find out some of the plants that naturally go around you and how you can use that to improve your health.
That's a great recommendation. So if someone came to Sacred Vibes because they don't know that they can go outside and dig burdock up like I will be doing, this is the time of year that we dig it up because it's a root. It's great to get it in the spring. But let's say they would come to you. In what ways do you offer it?
We have burdock as the root, the dried root, but we also have fresh tinctures of the root here for sale at the apothecary. We have it in teas, combination of teas with other herbs such as dandelion and yellow dock that also works synergistically. We have them in formulary for liver. We have them in the spring tonic. So there are many different ways that you can get burdock into the body.
Well, that sounded like a good spring tonic right there. By the way, of course, it's also a food. So that's what's so wonderful. And they do sell it as a food called gobo, G-O-B-O. That's usually would be in an Asian grocery store, although I've seen it in regular natural grocery stores where they call it burdock root.
And yes, absolutely. It's you know, many cultures use burdock as food. So you can make burdock soup and get some of those benefits, burdock stir-fries, burdock pickled burdock. So it depends on, you know, there's so many ways in which you can bring it into your usage.
True, and I'm a very simple cook, so I only steam everything. So I actually just slice it up like you would a carrot and throw it right in the steamer with the other vegetables. And it's not bitter in any way. It's a really pleasant, almost like I would compare it to water chestnut, just a very bland, little bit crunchy taste. And really good. And then the combinations that you have mentioned sound like wonderful spring tonics. So now is the time to get them. If someone's not in Brooklyn, Karen, do you ship? If someone's listening
yes.
to this
so
show.
So from our website, we ship all over so folks can order. Even though we don't have the individual herbs on our website, we do have the formulary so people can order the formulary, any of our formulary from anywhere.
And would you or a knowledgeable provider in your store, let's say, do a little mini consult by phone so you can help someone decide?
Absolutely. So anyone can give us a call at 718-284-2890. We'll talk to them a little bit over the phone about what their needs are, and then we will ship all to them.
Well, Karen, the time has gone so quickly, and you were a wonderful guest. I'm so happy we got to speak today, and I look forward to giving you a hug over there in Brooklyn or somewhere that our paths cross. I'd like to invite you to attend our Chinatown trip as well, which is coming up in May. So
I would love that. I would love that. I'm going to reach out and also mention that to my apprentices here so that if anyone would like to come also.
That's great. So to you and to everyone, I want to give you a little, we'll sign off here, and I want to say hello to all my listeners from sunny Florida today. And today's my last day in Florida for a while. I'll be back in historic Oyster Bay, Long Island, New York, home of President Teddy Roosevelt, and going to visit my husband, who always stays there. So I'm looking forward to seeing you, Mikey. And until next time, I hope that everyone stay healthy.